This Pastor Bill Woods, and I was thinking, you know, that one of these days the Bible says we're going to come before Jesus Christ and he's going to see what we've done in this life. To some people he'll say, enter into those things prepared for those who love me, and to others he's going to say, go away, I don't know you. I hope that your name isn't among the ones he says go away, because I don't know you. Today I've got good news and bad news to share. Good news is God's still on the throne and is in control of all that's happening in our world today. I know the world seems like it's out of control, but Jesus knows what's going on, and he told us these days would come. He's going to soon come to get his church out of this mess, and I hope you're ready. The bad news is we're in for some rough days ahead, and the especially bad news is that you who don't know Jesus as your Savior, when Christ comes for his church, you're going to be left behind, and you'll have to face the tribulation, and all hell is going to break loose during those 7 years. You don't want to be here. So much prophecy is being fulfilled today. Christians, pay attention. Make sure your relationship with Jesus Christ is right and you're living for him. You know, sharpen up your relationship with Jesus if you need to. There's so many signs saying that it's not going to be long until the Lord comes in the rapture. I mean, Israel is surrounded by nations screaming for their blood. There's so much anti-Semitism that's raging through Europe and the United States, and Jews are targeted around the world for assassinations, and synagogues are vandalized as worshipers are killed. Actually, Christians are persecuted too. Russia is coming down through Ukraine, ultimately heading for Israel. And for the first time in history, the nations listed in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39 are in place. The four kings mentioned in Revelation are taking center stage for the first time in history. The Russian-Ukraine war marks the beginning of a series of wars that will engulf the whole world in World War III. The world is coming apart at the seams. Judgment Day is coming, just as sure as it was in Noah's day when God sent the flood that destroyed everything except Noah and his family. God is warning us just as he did warn Noah before the flood. People are not paying attention, just like the people did not when Noah tried to tell them the flood was coming. Genesis chapter 7, verse 7 says, he, meaning Noah, went on board the boat to escape the flood, he and his wife and his sons and their wives. Imagine the panic that they felt, especially Noah's daughters-in-law. Imagine their panic when God shut the door on the ark and they knew that their families were outside wanting in as soon as it rained, and that they were soon going to drown. Their loved ones had an opportunity to repent, just like Noah's family did, but they paid no attention to the clear warnings that were given to them. I think how terrible it must have been to hear the people pounding on the side of the ark, trying to climb up to the ark to get into the door, prying and scratching at the door that had been sealed. And, you know, it was closed and the rain had started. Knowing their friends and loved ones were outside makes it even more tragic. Some say, oh, that's just an Old Testament story. It probably didn't happen. Listen, it happened. Everything recorded in Genesis chapter 1 through chapter 11 is literal and true. That is the foundation for our Christian faith. I mean, if I don't believe God's word that creation took six literal 24-hour days and that God rested on the seventh day, or how sin entered the world through Satan's treachery with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, or I don't believe the event of the flood or the Tower of Babel, then I have no reason to believe the Bible that says Jesus stepped into history to die for my sins and offer me salvation. I'm burdened for you who are living carelessly, thinking you're Christians, but one day will find yourselves on the wrong side of judgment. you're going to want to go in after it's too late. I feel panic for you, like Noah's daughters-in-law must have felt for their loved ones left out. I'm burdened for you. If you have not repented of your sin and asked Jesus to be your Savior, you're in trouble. People scoff at the idea of hell, but it is real. And I don't think that you really want to find out that it's real. What panic you will feel, and Christians will feel for you if you don't make it to safety, knowing that you are lost forever after, you know, you've had all these opportunities to accept Jesus Christ. Christians will feel terrible, at least for a while. I was thinking about a man that was in my church in Pullman, Washington. His name was Mac Hatley, and his daughter had rejected Christ. He spoke to her and told her how she needed to accept the Lord and how he had prayed for her. One day, she got in a terrible automobile accident and never accepted Christ. And Mac came and he said, she had all these opportunities. I feel terrible. But he said, you know, it was her choice. And it's your choice if you accept Christ or if you don't. We'll know who missed the way until after the white throne judgment, when God will wipe all tears away from his children's eyes and he will adjust our memories at that time. Revelation chapter 21:4 says that. It says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Listen to Christ's warning. In Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. In Matthew chapter 13, 47 through 51, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said unto them, have ye understood all these things? And they said to him, yes, Lord. You know, it's kind of like I remember hearing a story about one of my friends, Bob Shepherd. He was a district superintendent up in Alaska. But he talked about when he was growing up, how his uncle had a big farm, and every year his uncle would dam up a little creek that was out there and stop the water from flowing into the pond. And then he and his workers would go out and they would gather and sort the fish. And the good fish that they wanted to keep, they would put where they would have them. The bad fish, the suckers, the carp, things that they didn't want, they would just throw up on the shore and let them rot in the sun. Jesus said that's going to happen at the end of the age. I don't want to be part of the trash fish. I want to be one that Jesus wants to keep. And praise God, I don't have to be a throwaway. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. What is the will of my Father? God's will is for you to repent of your sins and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Repentance means a sincere turning away in both the mind and heart from selfishness turning to God. It's not just reciting a little script of words that you say without even really meaning it, please forgive me, and then continuing your old sinful lifestyle. Repentance is an about face, 180 degrees, where you stop doing the sinful things that you've done up till now and start living your life God's way. God wants us to be saved. God wants us to be sanctified. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctification means to be set apart and cleansed for God's holy use. This happens as I surrender myself totally, 100% to God. Until then, I'm not my own person. I've been a slave to sin and to Satan. But when I repent and I ask Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins and save me, I'm set free from Satan's bondage. He's no longer my master, but now I must choose to serve God with my whole being and let him be my master. This involves total surrender of my life to God's will. The choice is that I can make up my mind and say, God, you can have me all there is of me. The chorus that we used to sing is, not my will but thine. And that's where we have to be if we're going to be victorious Christians living in God's will. Romans 12:1-2 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. God wants you to hide his word in your heart so that you will not sin against him. Psalms 119:11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. That involves dusting off your Bible and beginning to read it and let God speak to you through the Bible and then apply it to your life and begin living like God wants you to live. God wants you to pray. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean stay on your knees 24 hours a day, but it means live in such a way that you can be in touch with God all the time. Maybe you spend some time in prayer on your knees, but throughout the day, you have these little short times and periods where you say, God, I need this, or God, help me in this situation. And you cry out to God. That's being in prayer. That's being where you can speak to God and he can hear you and he will speak to you. God wants us to be good stewards with his property. That means that, you know, what we have really is what God owns and allows us to use. I was thinking about the tithe. You know, that means to bring in to God's kingdom someplace about 10%, or it is 10% of the things God has given you. A man's car broke down on a lonely country road, and he decided to walk for help. As he walked the lonely road in the dark, a big black Cadillac glided past him with its lights off. He watched it turn onto a small dirt road, and he was curious. That's kind of a curious thing to see at night. And he saw the car speed to a cabin that was hidden in the trees. Several men jumped out of the car and ran into the cabin. This aroused the man's curiosity. He decided he would go and investigate. He cautiously approached the cabin. There was a candle on the table in the cabin surrounded by six men, and he could barely make out their conversation, but he could hear enough to know what they were saying. One man said, man, that was a haul we got from the bank this time. Another said, yeah, we really hit it big, and they'll never find out who robbed them. As they congratulated themselves and each other, they began to split the money between them. The leader said, yes, we struck it rich this time. We won't have to hit another bank for at least a year. Now we must split up so that nobody will connect us and see us together and recognize us. One of the men said, "But guys, before we go, can we have a word of prayer? My church is having a hard time, and I'm the worship leader, and I want to ask God for a revival." Well, you say, well, that's ridiculous. God wouldn't send revival to that church with people stealing like that, and all these men are thieves, and God doesn't bless thieves. Listen to Malachi 3, 8 through 10. "Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even the whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." You know, it's not enough to act like a Christian. You need to be a Christian. God owns everything. He lets you use it with understanding that you'll recognize his ownership by bringing the tithe or 10% back to him. People do all kinds of jobs in the church and in society and think they're going to work their way to heaven by living a good life. The real test is have you repented, and is your name in the book of life? I've been listening lately to President Trump, who thinks that his good works of stopping 6 wars and stopping a lot of people getting killed is going to let him into heaven. Listen, that's not going to let him into heaven. He needs somebody to tell him the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. You know, Jesse James killed a fellow in a bank robbery and shortly thereafter was baptized in the Kearney Baptist Church. Then he killed a bank cashier and joined the church choir and taught him singing. He liked Sundays, Jesse did, but he couldn't always show up at church because, like on 2 Sundays, he was out busy robbing trains. We don't worry much about it now, but one day there will be an accounting of how we lived. We will stand before God and find how we've measured up to his plumb line, to his expectations for us. Actually, there's going to be 2 judgments. The first one for Christ's redeemed, who were part of the first resurrection or the rapture, when the graves will open up and Christians will be called out and we who are alive will be caught up to be with Christ in the air. That will be the first judgment at the marriage feast of the Lamb. The second judgment are for those who rejected Jesus Christ's love and were part of the second resurrection after Christ's second coming and his millennial reign. This resurrection and judgments will be 1,000 years apart. The first will be like an award assembly at the marriage feast of the Lamb, and our effectiveness will be tested, but we'll know that we'll spend eternity with Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 13 through 15, it says, "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Now the second resurrection and judgment will be for the lost with no further chance to repent. Their destination is the lake of fire, and Satan and his demons are going to be there for all eternity. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15 says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Listen, make sure that you've asked Jesus to be your Savior. Your name is in the book of life. You don't want to be cast into the fire. Marty and I are burdened for souls. Please realize decisions that you're making right now will decide where you will spend eternity. The best decision you can make is to ask Jesus Christ to forgive you your sin and come into your life. Marty and I are so burdened for souls. There's so much lethargy and disinterest among people in learning about God and wanting to please God and caring about their families and their friends. You know, if Jesus came today, where would you end up for eternity? You know, he could come at any time. We don't know when, and every prophetic warning indicated it won't be long until the rapture. We worry about you and your families. Are you serving God? Are you going to be with us in heaven? If your loved ones follow you, how are they living? Where will they spend eternity as they follow you? Will it be heaven or hell? The internet is filled with warnings about the great reset that will drastically change our economy, giving government more control over us. There's less tolerance for Christians in society today than there has been for many, many years. Many are being arrested. Many Christians are being arrested and persecuted, and some countries placed in concentration camps for re-education or execution. It looks like those things could happen in our country soon if we don't have a revival and get back to God. Criminals are infiltrating our governments with plans to replace our republic with a Marxist society. Communists and Marxists used to hide their identity, but now they're flaunting it. They're out in the open, and they're running for offices in our nation. Their plan is to force us to choose whether or not to submit to identification chips implanted in our flesh, to prove our compliance with the restrictions that they will force upon us. And non-compliance will mean we won't be able to work, travel, or buy or sell. 2025 might be the year it all happens. What if they are right? You know, are you committed to God enough to remain faithful to Him whatever is coming? Now Christians are persecuted in North Korea, China, Iran, Iraq, Egypt, Russia, and a host of other countries hostile to God. And they're arresting the Christians and throwing them in prison and torturing them and killing some of them. And I wanted to ask you the question, if you died today, would God let you into His holy heaven? You know, we take our worship of God so for granted. We need to really take time to get to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. People say, well, I've attended church my whole life. I come from a devout Christian family. My mom or my grandma has prayed for me. God wouldn't let their prayers go unanswered, would He? I've lived a good life and helped people and given to charities. My good deeds certainly outweigh my bad deeds. Isaiah 64:6 says we are all infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they're nothing but filthy rags. You know, that's something that we need to understand. He's making a comparison between what righteous people have. He said our righteousness is filthy rags. Back there when people had leprosy and had to be isolated from society, they couldn't go into their families, they couldn't go into any kind of meeting, they have to stay out outdoors, you know, and they had these runny, nasty sores, and sometimes the community would put a stake outside the village, and there would be a big old rag, a towel or something there, and these lepers would come, and they'd wipe that goop away from their sores and stuff, and then they go on. And that's what is being said here, our righteousness as filthy rags. the things we try to do to earn our way to heaven is not going to get us there, because in God's sight, it's no better than those old dirty towels that were hanging out there. I want to be sure that my relationship to Jesus is sound, because he told some pretty scary stuff that it looks like will happen in our lifetime. Matthew 25, 31 through 46 says, "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon the glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me.' Then these righteous ones will reply, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say, 'I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me.' Then the king will turn to those on the left and say, 'Away with you, you cursed ones, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me.' Then they will reply, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you?' And he will answer, 'I'll tell you the truth. When you refused to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me.' And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. It'll do no good to say, 'I lived a good life and went to church,' or, 'I was a pastor,' or, 'A Sunday school teacher,' or, 'A music director,' 'I sang in the church choir,' 'I was on the church board,' because none of those things will get you into heaven. Only repenting for your sinful living, accepting Jesus as your Savior, and obeying the will of God is going to get you a home in heaven. It'd be terrible to know the way, but still end up on the side of the goats and hear Christ say, 'Go away, I don't know you.'" Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray that you'll help each one that's listened to this podcast to know today that they need to make sure their lives are what you want them to be. If they don't know you as their Savior, what a tremendous time to repent and say, "Jesus, please come into my heart, forgive me for my sins, and help me to live for you." If they have sometime accepted you as Savior, but they've grown careless, Lord, I pray that you'll challenge them to live the way that will glorify you. We want to see each one of these people, Lord, in heaven, and I just pray that you'll work with us and on us and help us to make the right decisions to accept Christ as our Savior. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I would invite you, if you want to get in touch with me, to call me at 623-845-2741 or send a text. Or you can write to me at Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. Or you can send me something by Gmail, but it's slower, and sometimes I get so much I might miss it. But you try again. It's lowercase revwmwoods@gmail.com. God bless you. I would ask you, please, make sure that your heart's right, because Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. You want to be a part of that. God bless you.